Ray McGovern is a retired CIA officer turned political activist. McGovern was a federal employee under seven U.S. presidents over 27 years, presenting the morning intelligence briefings at the White House for many of them. McGovern will be one of the featured speakers at the 15th annual Kateri Tekakwitha Peace Conference today and tomorrow at the National Kateri Tekakwitha Shrine in Fonda, New York. It is a great pleasure to welcome Ray McGovern to the roundtable this morning.
Thank you, Joe. I should point out that the conference goes through Saturday as well.
Goes through Saturday, and there are many, many speakers, and you are one of them. Ultimately, when you take part in something like this, what do you hope is accomplished?
Well, with this particular group, they will need very little instruction or information from me. The general idea would be to figure out what we do in these perilous times. What do we do when the Constitution, for which many of us took a solemn oath to support and defend, is being shredded as we look on? The Fourth Amendment, for example. Most people don't know about the Fourth Amendment, but it's just one sentence, Joe. I'm going to take the liberty of reading it to you. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized, period, end quote. Well, you can see that this incredibly intrusive and all-encompassing NSA surveillance, there's no probable cause there unless one argues that every American citizen is probably a criminal of some kind. There's no particulars to describe the place because everything, the place or the people, because everything is being scooped up. Now, why is that the case? Well, because the technology permits everything to be scooped up, and it's a lot easier just to get everything and then try to sort it out later rather than to find probable cause. So this is just one example of how our Constitution is being violated. And, you know, we saw what happened when that happened in the 30s in Germany. Nobody spoke up. Everybody kind of watched as though from a box at the theater. And worst of all, the churches were silent. And so we're trying to kind of figure out what we do to sensitize the American people to the gravity of the situation, the more so since what I call the fawning corporate media is very successful, and I mean particularly the TV at night, the so-called news shows,
right,
has been very successful at disguising all this or even omitting it in their coverage.
What do you think got us here? What got us to this point?
Well, the immediate, or as we would say in philosophy, the proximate cause is 9/11 and the way that was exploited to justify, in quotes, all this stuff, including an unnecessary war. But more generally speaking, it's become a steady accretion of power to the executive. When Ronald Reagan was not held accountable for Iran-Contra, simply because people didn't want to risk the notion of impeaching yet another Republican president so quickly after Nixon, that gave impetus to all manner of, condoning of irregular and illegal activity. Witness the fact that the intellectual author of all this eavesdropping is a fellow named Admiral John Poindexter, a convicted felon who was convicted on all kinds of perjury, and pardoned by George H.W. Bush on Christmas Eve just before he went out of office. The same guy. So the same criminals, if they're not held accountable, will show up in various guises, and that goes, of course, for the torturers, for the people who kidnap people, for some of my former colleagues who build black sites where people can be given what they call enhanced interrogation techniques. So it's a steady downhill thing, but, of course, 9/11 was the steroid that enabled the country or the leaders of this country to scare everybody out of their wits and say, you know, it's nice to have a Fourth Amendment, you know, it's nice to have these rights, but we can no longer we can no longer observe them because of the quote threat from terrorists.
So is Edward Snowden a good guy or a bad guy?
Edward Snowden is an admirable patriot who sacrificed his whole life for the purpose of letting us know what not only the intelligence community, but also the complicit mainstream media would not let us know. And the Fourth Amendment violations are just one example of that. He released the documents. A lot of this was known. The mainstream media did not cover it. A lot of this was known from previous NSA, National Security Agency employees, who quit because of this violation of the Fourth Amendment. But once you have the documents, and once you have a very clever person like Snowden, clever in the sense that he realized that if he tried to go through channels, as some of his NSA colleagues did, he would be in for 4 years of persecution, as was the case with Thomas Drake, and then let off with no felonious charges because there's no evidence. So he wanted to make sure that when he did this, he was able to get it out to people who would treat it circumspectly and that would let the Americans know before any gag order was put on him, as in the case of Bradley Manning, let him know what's going on. So in the tradition of Bradley Manning and Julian Assange, and now Edward Snowden, we have patriots who are willing to sacrifice a whole lot in the same, you know, in the same sense that our founders, you know, at the end of that Declaration of Independence, they talked about risking their lives and their sacred honor for this enterprise. Well, that's what these guys are doing. Now, people say, well, Snowden, do you think he's a hero or a felon? Well, hero, you know, it's all too easy to say, well, I think he's a hero, because that lets people off the hook, you know? People say, well, he's a hero. I'm not a hero. You know, what can I do, you know?
Right.
Well, he's not a hero. He's a patriot, and he's a truth-teller. And nothing he says so far has been shown to be inaccurate. On the other hand, everything he said has shown what the head of national intelligence, and I'm sorry to say the president himself, have said, have indicated what they have said has been shown by documents to be inaccurate, misleading, half-truths at the best.
My concern, though, is, and you touched on this, about making someone out to be a hero that would perhaps in the future allow other people to put out information that is not accurate, that is troublesome from a security sense, and that should not be released.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, one does not want to encourage that. But documents are documents, and no one has disputed the authenticity of these documents. If you forge documents, as quite frankly, Dick Cheney and George Bush did before the Iraq War, to, quote, justify the war, end quote, if you do that, you get found out. Nobody's going to find Snowden out for doctoring or embellishing on these documents. As I say, everybody vouches for them. What I usually hear are people who say, with very good consciences, now, wait a second, McGovern. You know, he made a secrecy promise when he agreed to get access to this information. And that's true. Are promises important? Yes. You don't violate promises capriciously. But, you know, in the ethical realm of things, you know, ethicists have a gradation of values here. And when one value is stopping a war or exposing war crimes or exposing flagrant violations of the Fourth Amendment and other amendment rights that our soldiers and our founders fought so valiantly for, well, the moral theologians and the ethicists call that a supervening value, okay? You can guess what that means. A value that supersedes a promise made on a piece of paper to protect information that might endanger the national security if it's released. Now, this hasn't endangered the national security. What it has endangered are the people like Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, who lied under oath to Congress. It endangers the president, who falsely said just last week that there is whistleblower protection for people like Snowden. That, my friends, is a lie. That's not true. And so what the American people get is a steady diet of half-truths and, frankly, lies. And so what Snowden has done, realizing all this and seeing what happened to predecessors like Thomas Drake, 4 years of, you know, when the judge finally decided on Thomas Drake, who was a whistleblower at the NSA, who did not release any classified information. After 4 years, the judge said, you prosecutors from the government, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. This is unconscionable activity to put someone like this through this torture for 4 years. Now, what Thomas Drake finally agreed to was to admit that he used a government computer to write a letter to his wife or something like that. So that's what became of 10 felony counts that would have put him away for 35 or 40 years. So the government here is trying to persecute as well as prosecute these folks. And Snowden looked on at this and said, well, number one, you know, I don't want to go through that. Number two, if I go through that, this information will never come out. Number three, how do I get some help to figure out some good correspondence, some good journalists? And he didn't figure this in, but there was a photojournalist as well involved. How do I figure out how to get this stuff to a place where I can get it out before they get me? That's what he did. That's pretty admirable in my view. And what the government, of course, is most concerned about is that other people might emulate this activity. Other people might say what's really going on in Afghanistan or in Palestine or in Syria. And once that happens, to the degree that the American people will learn about it, and that will depend on the mainstream press, we might have a force for government officials to be held accountable. Say, now, okay, if we're going to send millions of dollars worth of arms to Syria, what will that mean? Can Congress go along with that? And so all this kind of stuff that's illegal and they try to protect, in quotes, the American people from, there will be a danger that someone like Snowden will say, well, wait a second, they're saying they're not sending any arms to Syria, but look, here's what's really happening. Now, is that good? Well, it depends on the circumstances, just like anything else. But there are supervening values at work here. And the promise, you know, it's just a piece of paper with a signature on it. Again, a promise is a promise, should be kept. But, you know, that promise is designed to protect the release of information that would hurt the United States. In the longer view, the more information that is released will help the United States specifically to keep its rights under the Fourth Amendment, the rest of the Constitution. The last thing I'll say is that as an Army officer, I took a solemn oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. There are millions of people in this country who have taken that oath, not necessarily as an Army officer, but as other high officials, okay? Now, does that oath have an expiration date? The answer is no. I've checked with lawyers about that. That oath has no expiration date. And so when I see that Constitution, so carefully crafted by Alexander Hamilton and the rest of them to ensure our rights, to ensure that this would never happen to us after the kings and so forth got, after we won the revolution. When I see that happening, I say to myself, well, McGovern, you took that solemn oath. This is very serious stuff. This is not, this is bipartisan in the extreme. This is not just Bush and Cheney. This is Obama and the others that claim the rights to act as the kind of king that King George III was when we finally wrested control of our own futures from him.
Ray McGovern will be one of the featured speakers at the 15th annual Kateri Tekakwitha Peace Conference this weekend at the National Kateri Tekakwitha Shrine in Fonda, New York. You can go to KatteryPeaceConference.org for more information, KatteryPeaceConference.org. And Ray McGovern, thank you very much for joining us. We look forward to having you in town, and thank you very much for spending time with us this morning.
You're most welcome, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, you can find out more information about the 15th Annual Peace Conference today and tomorrow at the National Kateri Tekakwitha Shrine in Fonda by going to KateriPeaceConference.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.